All right, please take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. One of the things that is a common but unfortunate situation in church is infighting and schisms. I am grateful that we've never had anything serious here at Grace, but they are a common feature in churches. And that's what we're going to be looking at here this morning, because it was a problem in the church in Philippi. He starts out in verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." Again, restating his love, devotion to the Philippian congregation, people that he knew well, a place that he had passed through a great many times, that we're aware of just in the book of Acts, and probably a number of others that aren't recorded. And so he says, stand fast. The idea there is in the battle. Don't retreat. Hold your ground. Stay in your ranks. There is no room for retreat in the Christian life. So in regard to everything that has preceded, because chapter 3 was, frankly, a lot of warnings about false teachers and so forth, stand fast. And then he says, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. These two ladies were at odds with one another. We have no idea what the issue was. And you go through the books and the speculations are all over the place. I've taught Philippians or preached through Philippians and so on several times in the past, and I'd read about a bunch of these, and in my reading for today, I read another one that I hadn't thought of before. So no idea what the issue was, but as it's addressed here, the issue is with both the ladies. Anytime that I have ever tried to mediate a conflict, it's never 100% somebody else's fault. I have seen it probably maybe as close as 80-20, but usually it's a 40-60, 50-50, 55-45 kind of a thing. It's pretty close. One is usually more excited and volatile about it, and the other one is just, I told you, it's just like this all the time. And so, because opposites attract, you know how this goes. But it is, if when you analyze these things and assess them, yeah, there's plenty of blame to go around. For these two ladies in their service in the church, they are equally at fault. They are dressed equally. And whatever the issue was, there was back and forth and some strife involved. Both were laborers in the church. Very clear from our text. One that I read in my reading for today was that they may have been, like Lydia had been a number of years before, one of the hosts for the church. The church met in homes. And in the larger cities, there were multiple meeting places all throughout the city. And they may have been the hostesses. They may have been filling Maxine's shoes. They may have been running the coffee. Get your coffee over here, and taking care of the fellowships and so forth. We don't know what the issue was, but there was a conflict. They had ministered with Paul. That's alluded to here, and Paul knew them personally. Paul had, because of his imprisonments. This was written from Rome, and he had been imprisoned in Caesarea before. It had been at least 5 years since he'd been through Philippi. So these people are folks that had been there for quite some time. They knew the Apostle Paul. These are people that are well grounded, well taught. We're not talking about new believers that are still trying to figure out what's going on, and they're excited, but there's maybe a little bit of confusion there. These are people that are well taught. Understand that Luke had been the pastor there for a long time. When we have the they, we passages going back and forth in the book of Acts, when it's talking about they, then Luke is usually there in Philippi. He was the fellow that was left behind after Paul and Silas and Timothy went on to Berea. to Thessalonica. And so these folks have been there a long time. They, you know, it doesn't always matter. Matter of fact, it often doesn't matter. How long you've known the Lord, how well taught you are, how involved you are in ministry, how faithful you've been. Sometimes things erupt and there is a conflict. Now, I will tell you this, just in passing, that some conflicts are legitimate. And it has nothing to do with whether or not we're gonna meet at, services are at 10 or 10:30 or 11. That's not an issue to get into a fight over. The only things that you can legitimately get into take a stand for, and if it creates conflict, so be it, is issues of right and wrong, of error, as the Bible teaches it. And by all means, stand for the right. Make sure that you're right. Make sure it's not your opinion. Make sure that you can justify your position very clearly from the scripture. Very often we get the problems. The reason Grace Baptist Church exists is because other churches didn't. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, this church wouldn't be necessary. There were a lot of churches in the community that would be basically what we are. But a failure to stand for the truth has resulted in the situation we face today. And that's true all around the country and, frankly, around the world. And so he says, I beseech thee, Euodias and Syntyche, to be of the same mind of the Lord. By the way, another trivia thing is as you go through all of Paul's epistles, this is the only place where he, how do I use the word, chastises people by name who are believers. The only possible exception would be Demas there in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But these two ladies are kind of gently chastised, especially, ladies, you're involved in ministry. I know you. You're busy serving the Lord. Get your acts together. What's the matter with you? You know better than this. Fix the problem. Now, sometimes, due to various factors, personalities, number of issues, sometimes there needs to be a mediator. Comes in handy sometimes. Let's work this out. Let's talk this through. Because sometimes we, as we're talking about Jehoshaphat, this is true as well. We've got Jehoshaphat, the blind king. If you've seen the thing on Facebook or YouTube, we've got a picture of a king with an eye patch. That he's blind to certain things that he's always. Now, this will be an exception today, but he seems to always be jumping into the same error, and there's going to be four times where he's rebuked for the same error, and he just doesn't seem to get it. And so sometimes when there's a conflict, people can't see the problem. All they see is, I'm right, they're wrong, why don't they get it right? And they can't see that the other person is often thinking the same thing. And so mediation is sometimes very helpful in these things. And in this case, it was apparently necessary. They were either unwilling or unable, for whatever reason, to reconcile on their own. Now, by the way, when you have a schism like this in a church, where you have two well-known, perhaps rather dominant personalities, they have a tendency to collect their respective allies. And these things, instead of becoming a problem between this person and this person, becomes a problem with this group and this group, because the things grow. And so, especially among leaders. And these kinds of things sometimes result in church splits. It's a crazy thing. But they do. You know, we sometimes think of church splits being over serious issues of ethics and doctrine, and sometimes they are. But church explosions very often are personal and shouldn't be the case, but it is the case in this particular one. And it says so in verse 3, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. Now let's, we don't know who this guy is. He's not talking about Euodias and Syntyche. He's talking about somebody else. The person that would probably be doing the mediating or at least overseeing. It might be the pastor. Might be somebody else. It's possible. Not likely, I don't think. But it's possible he's even referring to Luke. Luke is actually seldom mentioned by name. And so it's possible that it's Luke. But whoever it is, it's somebody that Paul knows, somebody who's in leadership, somebody who is serving in the ministry. And so some have actually said this is a proper name in the Greek. But the problem with that word doesn't occur as a proper name any place that they've ever found. Part of the word does, but not the whole thing. So probably not a proper name, but evidently somebody who is involved in ministry there in the church there in Philippi. He says, I beseech thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. And that would be, I think he's referring to Euodias and Syntyche. Help these ladies. Help them get their acts together. Help them be reconciled. These folks have been busy serving, and this is undermining their ability to serve effectively. It's undermining their walk with God. It's undermining the effectiveness of the church. And so help them to get these things taken care of. Mediation is encouraged. One of the things that we see, I got the reference here for 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8, verse 1 through 8. This is occasionally actually put into practice. But do you know that there is a prohibition in the New Testament that believers are not to take other believers to court? You're not to sue another believer. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Why is that? Why do you suppose that that's there? Paul explains it. Testimony. We're parading our problems before the lost. We can't seem to reconcile things amongst ourselves, so we go to the lost to get things reconciled. Paul says, isn't there even one wise person among you that could arbitrate this? I mean, don't you have even one person in your church that is capable of acting as a mediator to resolve the problems? He says, for testimony's sake, you are better off suffering wrong than to go to court before the lost. So don't do it. Get it fixed in-house. Get it taken care of. And the reason some people are unwilling to do that is because they may... This ties in with a little bit of what we were talking about yesterday when you were here. Somebody might have the legal high ground, but not have the ethical high ground. Now, sometimes that happens. And so the person who has the legal high ground, but not the ethical high ground, is going to want to go to the courts because they know they'll win. But they know if they come before the church, they will lose. And since they're the one that has the ethical problem, they'll very often ignore 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and go for the win. Which simply compounds their sin. Because ultimately these things are a sin problem. If they are not, we're dealing with a sin problem. A failure to do what the New Testament commands in these things is sin. So a fight in-house where you're unwilling to get it resolved biblically is simply adding sin to your sin. You're compounding the problem. Which is why these things end up in explosions, because you are no longer spirit-led. You are no longer willing to submit yourselves to what the Word of God has to say. You know, it is so much easier. It is so, so much easier to be a believer and to be walking in fellowship and obedience. It solves so many problems. You avoid this very thing that we're talking about here. Because, do I have the verse here? I don't. Look up Proverbs, what is it, 13:10? Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Am I right on that? Is it Proverbs 13:10? Okay. if, unless it's an issue of right and wrong, of standing for truth, if there is a conflict, ultimately, it's rooted in me wanting to have my way, and it's about pride. And so I need to be willing to humble myself and go back to chapter 2. And let's read the first four verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, that's affection. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through... He may have had Euodias and Syntyche in mind when he penned verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I need, and when he says, look not every man to his own things, but every man to also unto things of others, he's not talking about meddling. He's seek other people's benefit before you seek your own. If I have a choice of bettering my own situation, or doing something for myself, or doing something for somebody else, do something for somebody else. Put others before yourselves is what basically what this is all talking about. And you're driven by your love for that person. So getting back to our text, if we have a conflict, there's a failure to heed those verses in chapter 2. I'm wrapped up in myself. I'm wrapped up in what I'm doing. I may think that what I am doing is more important than what they're doing, but what they're doing gets far more attention than what I'm doing, and that's just not right. There's all sorts of things. People get their toes stepped on. People get their feelings hurt. Feelings can, especially these days, that seems to be, you know, the unpardonable sin is to hurt somebody's feelings. I'll get myself in trouble. Get over it! Get over it! But you hurt my feelings, yes. And why are your feelings hurt? Because you are self-absorbed. All you're thinking about is how you feel about the situation rather than the analyzing the truth of the matter and considering what the other person is going to or thinking as well. One of the books I read for this, two ladies walked past each other in town. They knew each other well. And one lady didn't greet the other. And the other was really bent out of shape because the other lady ignored her. The other lady had forgotten her glasses and was nearsighted and didn't recognize her friend. But she didn't say hello to me. She didn't greet me. Well, it's because she didn't recognize you. People get all bent out of shape. And some, you know, we don't even know what we don't know. We jump to conclusions and then jump to conclusions from those conclusions. If we set aside self, if we set aside, frankly, our feelings on the matter, because truth is more important than feelings. All right? There's lots of people that think they're going to heaven because of warm, fuzzy feelings. The Mormons talk about that warming that they had in their bosom. I remember I went through the gospel with a Mormon missionary one time, and he's sitting there staring at the Bible and knowing that he has not trusted Christ as his Savior alone. But he's sitting there and he keeps saying over and over to himself, but I had that warming in my bosom. I had that warming in my bosom. I had that warming in my bosom. He wants to base his salvation, his eternity, on how he feels instead of on truth. Get over it. Resolve the issues. Because ultimately, that is all very, very self-centered. And pride is self-centered. Get over it. If your feelings are hurt, the vast majority of the time, the person who hurt your feelings did not intend to hurt your feelings. It was not the goal. It was not the intent. And they would be actually rather, I wish I hadn't hurt your feelings. But sometimes, The thing that hurt your feelings, you needed to hear. You needed to hear. And so submit to the truth, submit to what the Word of God has to say, get right and set aside feelings or other things that frankly can be a stumbling block to your walk with God. So help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Help these two to get resolved. And he says, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are written in the book of life. Clement is a guy. All right. It was actually a fairly common name in the first century. There are actually, in extra biblical writings, there are two fairly well known guys that wrote letters and that are still in existence today that knew the apostles. And it's possible that this is one of them, but we don't know. But this fellow here was obviously a leader in the church. And so he is asking Clement and the true yoke fellow to help these ladies resolve the problem. And with others, anybody else that's in leadership that might be necessary to get involved and help resolve this problem. Get the issue taken care of. Because lots of folks, let me change that, the majority of people will just wait and hope it goes away. And the uproar, the dust may settle, but the problem has not been fixed. And there needs to be a fix. Because otherwise, it doesn't take a whole lot to stir up everything again. The problem has not gone away, and because the problem has not gone away, the volatility of it may have settled down, but the problem has not gone away, which means there's still a sin problem that needs to be resolved. So make sure things get fixed instead of just having things calm down. There's a difference. Things need to be fixed. Broken things need to be taken care of. Now, what's the motivation for all this? Why is it so important that we take care of these sometimes rather mundane, sometimes, frankly, from an outsider's perspective, sometimes they're very silly. The conflicts can be very silly. Why is it that this is important? What does Paul use as the argument as to why this is important? Look at the end of verse 3. Whose names, my fellow laborers, whose names are written in the book of life. Eternity. We will be spending eternity together if our names are written in the book of life. If we know Christ as Savior, then we will be spending eternity together. Now, granted, we'll be glorified so that this person over here will think exactly like I do. That's our attitude sometimes. Well, I'm glad everybody will finally agree with me when we're glorified. It is with eternity in mind. Isn't it kind of silly to have ongoing conflicts with our eternal brothers and sisters? I mean, we can't get along now.
Well, that's because of the flesh.
We are spirit-filled. We have a new nature. We should be able to manage to get along. If we bring ourselves into accord with this book, if we operate our relationships according to this book, there shouldn't be any of this. There shouldn't be. And so, look at that last point at the bottom of your page. Within scriptural guidelines, what do personal differences matter in the light of eternity? They don't! If we're dealing with things that are outside of what this teaches, I mean, come on, let's get into a big fight over what color tablecloths we're going to have for the Easter luncheon. You just don't have an eye for color. What difference does that make? It has no bearing as far as spiritual things are concerned. It has no bearing on what the Scripture teaches. Let's bring ourselves into accord with what the Scripture teaches as far as what we're to believe, but also what we're to do. How we are to work in our relationships. Because unless somebody is in error biblically, and even then there's instructions on how to deal with that. Again, bring about a reconciliation. Bring carefully, lovingly, kindly, bringing about a restoration to fellowship. That's the job of the church. We are to do that. And so anything that's not within the parameters of that, and we're creating a conflict, we're out of line too. You know, we always think we're right, otherwise we wouldn't hold what we hold to. But sometimes, I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes we're the one that's wrong. And we need to make sure that we bring ourselves into accord with what the Scripture has to say. Only by pride cometh contention, with a well-advised is wisdom, and if there's a conflict, get it taken care of. And if your feelings are hurt, I'm sorry your feelings are hurt. Get over it. Get over it. Because ultimately, if your feelings are hurt because of some offense that you have taken, you're actually being self-centered. And somebody may have said something, and somebody may have been unkind in their phrasing. They may have been insulting. I've gotten my share. Get over it. It's not worth it in the light of eternity. And if somebody has a propensity for this thing, then kindly, sweetly, say, hey, you know, I think you're hindering the relationships that we have here because you're coarse or unkind in your in the things you say. And maybe might be a little more thoughtful in your approach to things. Sometimes things need to be said. But how you say it, there's lessons to be learned there as well. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for some basic things on our relationships with one another. Father, there is not to be schism in the church unless it's based on truth. And then it needs to be a disciplinary issue ultimately. Father, may we walk with one another in fellowship as we are to walk with you in fellowship. And Father, may we recognize that in a lot of ways those two go together. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.